And one of the things I love about this church, and one of the things I love about the Christian Missionary Alliance as a denomination, is that there's such an emphasis on not just serving ourselves and our needs internally, but really to go to the whole world. And as Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And the gospel is not just merely a bunch of words, it's deeds as well. I think about how Jesus was on the hillside and he was teaching and giving him all this great knowledge and information and this wisdom. But he recognized that that's not all that they needed, that these people were really hungry. And so he fed them. And that's such a powerful statement to me, to think that Jesus cared not only about the spiritual needs of people, but also the physical needs, and that we're called as followers of Jesus Christ to love all people and to love all the aspects of people's lives, to care for the mind and the body and the soul. And obviously that's a tremendous organization and one of many that we support here as a church. Well, having said that, good morning, everybody. It just so happens that my first Sunday as your pastor, I have a cold. And so, terrible timing, but we're going to do our best to make it through together. I want to say a special thanks to Meg Rittinger. I don't know if any of you saw the welcome that she gave our family in your program there, but apparently there's quite a gallery of fridge art around here, and this was the latest masterpiece, and a masterpiece it was. Our family was really blessed by that, so thank you, Meg, for that warm welcome, and for all of you who have just been absolutely tremendous in welcoming our family to your family, and we're so excited to be a part of it, and so excited to expand this family, and to reach more and more people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and to see transformation all over the world. Would you pray with me as we get started? Dear God, wow. Thank you so much for this family and for this church. And thank you for your church, your bride, all over the world. Thank you for our brothers and sisters in India that we just saw photos and videos of. And thank you for brothers and sisters across Washtenaw County and across this nation and around the world. And I pray, God, that you would just continue the incredible work that you've been doing for thousands of years of bringing people into your relationship, into your presence, God. Thank you, Jesus, so much for your life that you gave that allows us to have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. And I just pray now that the words in my mouth and the meditations in my heart would be pleasing to you, my God. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning we're continuing our series called Life Together. And Life Together is really a series about community. And what I love about community is relationships. That God's created us for relationships. And a few weeks ago, Jonathan talked about how we are members of one body together. And a couple weeks ago, I gave a talk and we just talked about what it means to carry one another's burdens. And community, well, it can get really, really messy. Family can get really messy. But it's what God has designed us to be. He's designed us to be interdependent, which is a real contrast to our culture, which says, it's all about me. I deserve a break today at McDonald's, and really, I don't really need anybody else because it's all about serving my needs because, well, I deserve it. Even think about that video and just the contrast of the attitude that Jesus talks over and over again about us caring for the widows and the poor and the least of these, to get beyond ourselves and to be a part of community. And that means giving as well as receiving. Today we're going to talk about this notion of loving one another. And there are so many one another's in the Bible. Over and over again in the New Testament, we see commands to do things together as a family and to see the church as people, as the community. Our friends, I've already heard people refer to this building as the church. And I just want to declare, this is not the church. This is maybe a lovely building where the church gathers. And I'm grateful for heat this morning. How many of you are grateful for heat this morning? I have family that are here this morning and travel all the way from Florida, and they're especially grateful for the heat. You can probably turn up a couple more degrees for them. Thank you for joining us. But I'm really grateful for this building and for the shelter and the warmth that it provides us. But this building is not the church. We are the church. This gathering, this is not church. This is just a gathering of the church because the church is people, it's community. And today we're going to talk about what it means as a church, as a community, as a family to love one another. And so we're going to look first at Jesus' teachings, and it was read earlier. And that is, in John chapter 13, Jesus says, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." It's kind of interesting that Jesus says it's a new command. Because going all the way back to the very early pages of Scripture, God gives us commands. In fact, in Deuteronomy, we see God's top 10 list. And in His top 10 list, we see two commands. One is basically love God, and the other is to love one another, to love your neighbor. In fact, Jesus says repeatedly, He boils it down, this whole idea of life is really about two things. It's about loving God and loving your neighbor. You say that you're a follower of Jesus, the best barometer of that, how are you loving God and how are you loving one another? How are you loving your neighbor? That's it. Like, that's it. So, would you stand for closing prayer? And we're going to go. I mean, like, that's really it. Now, if you think that, well, you know, Jesus' teachings were great, but what about other people? I mean, over and over and over and over again, we see the message, the same message to love one another. Now, you're going to see a lot of scriptures this morning, so just fasten your seatbelts, because the Bible is so full of messages, and we're not going to even come close to touching all of them, because the Bible, it's a love letter from God. It's a love letter, and the pages are filled with messages that God is love, and that we are to reflect Him as we follow Him, that we also must follow in love. Incidentally, this is a contrast to a lot of world religions that see God not as a God of love, as a God of justice, a God of wrath, a God of just basically out to get you. And what's so beautiful about the pages of Scripture, what's so beautiful about the faith that we have, is that we serve and love and honor a God of love. So Paul writes, he says, "Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law." We could go into that and talk about finances forever and debt and how awful it is. Except for the debt to love one another. But that'll be another message sometime. Peter says, "Now that you've purified yourselves by obeying the truth so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart." He goes beyond just saying love one another, but says deeply from the heart. John, over and over and over again. John is, I would love to meet John. I guess someday I'll get a chance to meet him. He must have been a real man of love, because his letters are filled with messages and commands and statements about love. This is the message you've heard from the beginning, from the very beginning, that we should love one another. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he has commanded us. Love one another. It's over and over and over again. Well, let's go back to Jesus' words for a moment, because there's something really interesting. You know, not only did people follow this command or seek to follow this command of loving God and love your neighbor back to Leviticus 19, in Matthew 5, Jesus had taught them not only to love their neighbor, but also their enemies. That's a tough one. And again, I think we'll get there someday. We'll be talking about that text, because it's one that challenges me and one that I fail at miserably. But the context of this is Jesus saying that we need to love one another, that we need to care for one another within the body of Christ, within the family, within the church, because that love will then leak out to the world. We do so many things to try to go out there and try to convert them and change them and tell them how evil they are. But so often, what we're reflecting is not something that's all that attractive. I mean, who wants to be a part of some club or organization that's always bickering and arguing? Who wants to be a part of some group that's known for its negativity? Friends, Jesus says the world will know that we are followers of Jesus by our love. That's it. By our love for one another. And the more that we are able to love one another and care for one another, it's going to leak. People are going to notice a difference about us. They're going to notice a difference. They're going to want to come. And what I love about SIO is that we have a very big front door, and we want to make the door even bigger. Don't worry, construction guys, we're not going to like necessarily do anything to the front door. But to welcome people and let them know that this is a place where they can find love, they can find joy and peace and all sorts of incredible things that the world has no clue about. Because the world is all about me, me, me. So let's begin with a simple question. What is love? What is love? It's difficult to talk about the word love because it means so many different things, doesn't it? I love ice cream. Anyone love ice cream? Okay. We need to have an ice cream social sometime. That'd be fun. I love roller coasters. I love music. I love my wife. I love playing outside. No, not today. My last name means snowman in German, so, you know, the outside kind of fits today. I love. The Beatles sang, love is all you need. And to some degree, there's actually some truth in that. But what is love? What is love? We're going to open up right now. What is love? Anybody?
God is love.
God is love. Okay. What else?
Sacrificing yourself for another.
Sacrificing yourself for another. That's good. Very good. What else? What is love? I got y'all stumped. It's not hard. What's that?
Acting in another's best interest.
Acting in another's best interest. Good. Good. What else?
Seeking to serve.
Okay. How about you kids? What is love? What is love? What's love?
Giving.
All right. What's love? Never thought about it. Is that little candy heart you're going to get around Valentine's Day? Is that love? Do you guys know what love is? I actually heard a song years ago that said, love is a boy and a girl on a swing. I was like, really? Can we do a little better than that? Here's what some people have said about love. Love is friendship set on fire. I kind of like that. Mark Twain said, love is the irresistible desire to be irresistibly desired. That's Mark Twain for you, isn't it? Eric Fromm said, love is the only sane and satisfactory answer to the problem of human existence. That's a little darker, but I think there's something there. How about this one? To love is to receive a glimpse of heaven. We know love, heaven's going to be filled with love. And Nicholas Sparks said, love is more than three words mumbled before bedtime. Love is sustained by action, a pattern of devotion in the things we do for each other every day. And there's a couple key words that I love about that. One is the word action, because love is action. Love is a verb. And I also love the word devotion, a pattern of devotion, because, well, love, it's something that's deliberate. It doesn't accidentally happen. You know, what is love? You know, first, love is a verb. In the Greek, there's four words for love. How many of you know another language? You speak another language, whatever it happens to be, okay? In most other languages, there's multiple words that we use the word love for. In Spanish, there's several different words. In Greek, there's four. And most of you are probably familiar with these four, at least a few of them. Eros is the basis for our word erotic. Storge is like child to parent love. And neither of these words are used in the New Testament. But phileo is brotherly love, a human response to something delightful. And then the one that we're probably most familiar with and you've heard of is agape or agapeo. It's divine, unconditional, self-sacrificing, active, volitional, and thoughtful love. Well, that's a lot of stuff there. I love what C.S. Lewis said. He called it the highest level of love known to humanity, a selfless love, a love that was passionately committed to the well-being of the other. And we had some responses earlier that kind of spoke about the other person, but passionately committed to the well-being of the other. That's love. That's love. Action or benevolence. In some definitions, there's actually this idea of a love feast. And that's kind of an interesting expression, but that agape is, it's this love feast, that when we feast, we go all out. It's extravagant. It's not just, here's a little candy heart. The active love of God for His Son and His people is often another way that this is referenced. That God is love, as was mentioned earlier. Trench wrote that it often refers to a deliberate choice. You don't just fall into agape love. You don't fall out of agape love. You know what I'm talking about, right? Oh, I fell in love. Oh, I fell out of love. I just don't love them anymore. No, it's a choice. Love is a decision. It's a choice that we make. It's a deliberate thing. A lot of you probably know John 3:16. For God so loved the world, right? Fewer people know and recognize 1 John 3:16, which is even more equally powerful. This is how we know what love is. And it doesn't say love is a boy and a girl on a swing. It says Jesus Christ laid down His life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. And there's nothing more that you can give for someone than your life. There's no greater gift. And that's it. There it is. We're to love as Jesus loves. In less than a month, we're going to celebrate Valentine's Day, the day of love. And we're going to get those candy hearts, and maybe some of you kids are going to get those little Valentine's, little paper things, and maybe chocolates and all that. And we're going to try to, you know, use these different examples, these illustrations, these symbols of love. But God's love, this agape love, is so much deeper than just a little piece of candy. In fact, 1 Corinthians 13, which is known as the love chapter, describes love so beautifully. Maybe you had it read at your wedding, as my wife and I did many years ago. That God's love is illustrated so perfectly. Let's just take a look at it for a moment. It's really a church text. It's not meant for a husband and wife, although it certainly fits a husband and wife. But it's really written to the church, to a church in Corinth. And this is what it says. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and knowledge, and I have not, and a faith that can move mountains, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. It's kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Wow. How many of you want that in your life? Love never fails. Just meditate on that for a second. Have you noticed things in life that fail? Like cars that won't start on cold days? Or people that disappoint you? Or just about anything in our world? Our world's full of failure. In fact, it's even now, one of the most common phrases that people use is fail. Right? It's almost a buzzword, something happens. Oh, fail! There's all websites devoted to people's failures, and you can see people. You know, what I saw one this week, this lady was texting, and she walked into a fountain and fell over in the mall or something. It was like, that's a fail. But love never fails. Right? It never fails. It never, ever fails. And Paul finishes and he says, these three remain faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. The greatest of these is love. You know, one of my favorite definitions of love is kind of what we talked about, looking out for the best interests of others. Which brings up this question of tough love. Don't confuse love with being nice. Because sometimes love is not nice at all. In fact, sometimes love can be downright violent. I remember seeing this picture, or it was like a little video clip years ago, and it showed this woman, and she's just walking down the street, minding her own business, no big deal, and all of a sudden this guy runs up, he like tackles her and knocks her down, and you're like, oh my gosh, that's horrible. And then you see the big picture, and this piano is about to fall on top of her. And so out of love, out of seeking her best interest, he did something, risked his own life, and actually caused her a little harm and damage in the tackle. But it was an act of love. I heard a story recently of a guy, and he was laid off from his company. You know, in these times, a lot of people are facing layoffs. But this particular instance was a little unique from some, because this man had been working at this company for 40 years. And his boss came in and he said, you know, we've been making some budget cuts, and we're going to let you know that unfortunately we have to let you go. And he was just completely shocked. And he said, you know, I've been here for 40 years. What are you talking about? I mean, how can you let me go? And his boss said, well, you know, you're not a very good employee around here. And we need to make some cuts. And I mean, we just really can't keep you around. You're kind of dead weight to our company. And he said, dead weight? What are you talking about? no one's ever given me, said anything about my performance in a negative way. And his boss said, well, you've had so many issues, but I just didn't want to hurt your feelings and say anything about your performance. So I really just try to be nice all these years, but really you've done a really poor job and we have to let you go. Now, was he showing love to this person by being nice? Not at all. He did something absolutely selfish, protecting his own fear of rejection, and was not at all looking out for the best interests of this other person, to say nothing of the company itself. Had he lovingly confronted, spoken the truth in love, and said, you know, I appreciate you as an employee, and here are some ways that you can improve because you're capable of so much more, then the whole company would have been better. He probably wouldn't have even been laid off. See, I don't know about you, but I grew up thinking that Jesus was like Mr. Rogers, like Mr. Nice Guy all the time. And he was just happy and never rocked the boat, just made everybody happy. But that's not Jesus at all. In fact, as one book says, caring enough to confront, Jesus was constantly demonstrating love by getting in people's faces. I mean, at one point, he's downright violent, knocking over tables. I mean, it would be pretty disruptive to walk into church, the church gathering this morning, and, you know, all of a sudden you see people knocking stuff over. You'd be like, whoa, what's going on? But Jesus, he loved so much these people that he wanted them to be focused on God and not all these other trappings and things. One thing I hear parents say a lot is, in punishment time, and kids, don't speak about your parents here if this applies to you, but maybe you've heard this, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. Get out the paddle and like, really? Somehow I don't see that hurting you at all, Mom or Dad, but I got smoke coming from back there. The fact of the matter is, I vow never to say that to my kids, but what I have told them at times of disappointment and I should say punishment and correction has been, I love you too much to let you continue in this behavior. I love you too much to watch you run in the street when there's a car. So out of love, I'm going to, you know, rip your arm off out of socket. But better to have a life without an arm than no life at all, okay? But sometimes when we demonstrate tough love, it can be tough and it can be difficult for us. Again, it can be tough to confront people. It can be tough to say, I love you so much that as a friend, as a father, as a spouse, as a brother, whatever, I love you too much to see you take these steps. Not out of judgment, not out of condemnation, not out of selfishness, but out of selflessness to confront. And sometimes love, and when we love one another, it can get messy. We've got to be really, really careful of how we use our words and what words we choose, and careful of our attitude. You know, one thing I learned about correcting my children is to make sure that I'm in a position where I'm not correcting out of anger, and then I'm not in a moment where I'm just going to, you know, yell at my kids. Sometimes I'm not ready to demonstrate the love that I need to share. And so when we love one another, we need to make sure that our hearts are humble and broken before God, that our motives are pure. And sometimes the other person will respond very well. Sometimes they won't respond well at all. But sometimes loving one another means we need to take the risk. We need to get some tools in our relational toolbox at times to find words. You know, it's one thing for me to say to my kids, you know, you're grounded. But it's another, you know, to say, I love you too much to see you in this behavior. And I want the best for you. And what I'm about to share with you about you losing access to all screens in the house for the next 30 days, it's because I love you, not because I'm just out to get you. Friends, love is not just being nice. Sometimes being nice is the most unloving thing that we can do. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't be nice. And kindness is one of the fruits of the Spirit. So we do need to be kind to one another. But I just want you to understand that love is more than just being nice. It's being more than just kind. It's looking out for the best interests of others. And so a question I have for you this morning is, how have you loved others? How have you been looking out for the best interests of others? I mean, not just doing something nice for people. And that's good. And we need to do that. We need to encourage one another. And we need to, you know, send the cards to one another and help each other out and do things. But how are you involved today and the days to come in loving the people in this room and looking out for their best interests? Years ago, I remember there was a guy at our church, and he told the story about when he proposed to his wife. And he said, I thought I loved her. I had these like warm feelings inside, and my heart would beat every time I saw her. But I really wanted to know what really is love. Years ago, there was a band called Foreigner, and they did that song, "I Want to Know What Love Is." And I want you. Come on, everybody. No, but it's a question. I mean, our world is really asking, what is love? Because it's rarely demonstrated. This selfless love that we're talking about, it's rarely demonstrated. And I remember this guy, I mean, I was just a kid at the time, but he told this story, and he said, I went to the Bible and I tried to really find out what is love. And he said, he came across these words: "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." And that's what was said earlier. God is love. It continues, "This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." Dear friends, since God has so loved us, we also ought to love one another. "No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us." And so the message today is, love one another. We know that we live in Him and He in us because He has given us of His Spirit. Last week, Jeff Brown talked about the one thing that he wanted to make sure his kids knew. What was that? Be filled with the Spirit. Right? The one thing. Kids, whatever you do, be filled with the Spirit. Because if you're filled with the Spirit, if you're controlled by the Holy Spirit of God, then your life is going to reverberate God. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. That we need to be filled with the Spirit. See, this love thing is something that I can't do. And I haven't really met, I don't know, I haven't met anybody that can really love on their own. I mean, to truly look out for the best interests of others all the time. Because of this thing called sin. And sin says that it's all about me. But as we begin to look at Jesus, if we fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, if we look at Jesus who demonstrated His love for us and that while we were yet sinners, He died for us, He demonstrated His love, then we can be filled with the Spirit. Then we can begin to understand and share that love. If your tank is empty, there's no way you're going to be able to share it with others. If my refrigerator is empty, I can invite you over to my house, but I can't feed you a meal. I need to fill up my refrigerator. I need to go up to Meijer and get some food so I can share it with you. And the same is true for love. I'm sure a lot of us in this room, our love tanks are empty. And if your love tank is empty, it's really going to be hard for you to share something that you don't have. So where does it come from? It comes from God. Love comes from God. We need to go to the source. And that's why prayer is so important, to spend time with God. That's why studying His Word is so important, to know the truth and to know His Word, to read His love letter and be filled with that, to spend time with others that are loving and surround ourselves with people, not just so that we're always around loving people, but so that we can receive love and then give it. It's often been said that hurting people hurt people. And I would just add to that, that loving people and people that have been loved are then able to love others. And my dream, my vision for Sio Community Church is that this would be a house of love. This would be a community of love. This would be a family of love. And that's exactly what Jesus said. You know, we love because He first loved us, but His command is that all men will know that you are my disciples. Not by how many verses of Scripture you've memorized, not by how many mission trips you've taken, not by how many times you've attended church and got up even when it was cold outside, Not by how many times you clean the church building. Thank you, by the way, those of you that clean. But the world will know that we are followers of Jesus by the love that we have for one another. By the selfless, self-serving, looking out for the best interest of the other person love. And that best comes the more we spend our time receiving God's love and then letting it overflow to others. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. So if you love God, it's essential that you allow him to love you in order to love others. And therefore, let the world know that we are his followers. Will you stand with me for closing prayer? We're going to actually end with a song. But before we do, let's just pray together. Jesus, I just thank you so much for your love. For your love that has changed me and is continuing to change me. And my personal prayer is that I would be more like you. And that I would decrease and you would increase. And that I would reflect you and represent you and your love more each day to my family, to my friends, to Sio, to the world around us. And it is my prayer for our church that we would be known as the most loving people on the planet. That we would have a contagious love, that the love virus would just spread to our neighborhoods, to our schools, to our workplaces, to our friends and family. And that people would just be amazed at the selfless love that we offer them. And that when they ask us, what is up with us? That we would just be able to say that we've been loved so lavishly by Jesus. We've been loved so amazingly by this amazing grace that while we were yet sinners, Jesus, you came and you died and you demonstrated your real love for us. The ultimate love, the ultimate sacrifice. And I pray that we would leave this place today more loving, having spent time in your presence and in your word, and that daily you would draw us close to you, that we would love you and our world more. In your powerful name, amen.